the Mollison's red Ford Fiesta, parked in the drive three houses along. The sight added a little extra zest to her desire for a fight. The wall's door was opened by a short, plain, dumpy woman in a tie-dyed skirt. "Hello," said Kay. "My name's Kay Borden, and I was wondering whether I could speak to Colin Wall." For a split second, Tessa simply stared at the attractive young woman on the doorstep, whom she had never seen before. The strangest idea flashed across her mind, that Colin was having an affair and that his lover had come to tell her so. "Oh. Yes, come in. I'm Tessa." Kay wiped her feet conscientiously on the doormat and followed Tessa into a sitting room that was smaller, shabbier, but cozier than the Mollisons. A tall, balding man with a high forehead was sitting in an armchair with a notebook in his lap and a pen in his hand. "Colin, this is Kay Borden," said Tessa. "She'd like to speak to you." Tessa saw Colin's startled and wary expression and knew at once that the woman was a stranger to him. "Really," she thought, a little ashamed, "what were you thinking?" "I'm sorry to barge in on you like this, unannounced," said Kay, as Colin stood up to shake her hand. "I would have telephoned, but you're where X Directory, yes?" said Colin. He towered over Kay, his eyes tiny behind the lenses of his glasses. "Please sit down." "Thank you. It's about the election," said Kay. "This parish council election. You're standing, aren't you, against Miles Mollison?" "That's right," said Colin nervously. He knew who she must be, the reporter who'd wanted to talk to Crystal. They had tracked him down. Tessa ought not to have let her in. "I was wondering whether I could help in any way," said Kay. "I'm a social worker, mostly working in the fields. There are some facts and figures I could give you about the Bell Chapel Addiction Clinic, which Mollison seems quite keen on closing. I've been told that you're for the clinic, that you'd like to keep it open." The onrush of relief and pleasure made him almost giddy. "Oh, yes," said Colin. "Yes, I would. Yes, that was my predecessor's. That is to say, the previous holder of the seat, Barry Fairbrother, was certainly opposed to closing the clinic, and I am too. Well, I've had conversations with Miles Mollison, and he made it quite clear that he doesn't think the clinic's worth keeping open. Frankly, I think he's rather ignorant and naive about the causes and treatment of addiction, and about the very real difference Bell Chapel is making. If the parish refuses to renew the lease on the building, and the district cuts funding, then there's a danger that some very vulnerable people will be left without support." "Yes, yes, I see," said Colin. "Oh, yes, I agree." He was astonished and flattered that this attractive young woman would have walked through the evening to find him and offer herself as an ally. "Would you like a cup of tea or coffee, Kay?" asked Tessa. "Oh, thanks very much," said Kay. "Tea, please, Tessa, no sugar." Fats was in the kitchen, helping himself from the fridge. He ate copiously and continually, but remained scrawny, never putting on an ounce of weight. In spite of his openly declared disgust for them, he seemed unaffected by Tessa's pack of ready-filled syringes, which sat in a clinical white box next to the cheese. Tessa moved to the kettle, and her thoughts returned to the subject that had consumed her ever since Sukhvinder had suggested it earlier, that Fats and Crystal were seeing each other. She had not questioned Fats, and she had not told Colin. The more that Tessa thought about it, the more certain she was that it could not be true. She was sure that Fats held himself in such high regard that no girl would be good enough, especially a girl like Crystal. Surely he would not. "Demean himself, is that it? Is that what you think?" "Who's here?" Fats asked Tessa through a mouthful of cold chicken as she put on the kettle. "A woman who wants to help Dad get elected to the council," replied Tessa, foraging in the cupboard for biscuits. "Why does she fancy him?" "Grow up, Stew," said Tessa crossly. He plucked several slices of thin ham out of an open pack and poked them, bit by bit, into his crammed mouth, like a magician inserting silk handkerchiefs into his fist. Fats sometimes stood for 10 minutes at a time at the open fridge, ripping open cling film and packets and putting chunks of food directly into his mouth. It was a habit Colin deprecated, along with almost every other aspect of Fats's behaviour. "Why she want to help him, seriously?" he asked, having swallowed his mouthful of meat. "She wants the Bell Chapel Addiction Clinic to stay open." "What, a junkie, is she?" "No, she isn't a junkie," said Tessa, noting with annoyance that Fats had finished the last three chocolate biscuits and left the empty wrappings on the shelf. "She's a social worker, and she thinks the clinic is doing a good job. Dad wants to keep it open, but Miles Mollison doesn't think it's very effective. You can't be doing that well. The fields are full of glue sniffers and smackheads." Tessa knew that if she had said that Colin wanted to close the clinic, Fats would have instantly produced an argument for its continuation. "You ought to be a barrister, Stew," she said as the kettle lid started to rattle. When Tessa returned to the sitting room with her tray, she found Kay talking Colin through a sheaf of printed material she'd bought out of her big tote bag. Two drugs workers, part funded by the council and partly by Action on Addiction, which is a really good charity. Then there's the social worker attached to the clinic, Nina. She's the one who gave me all this. "Oh, thanks very much," said Kay, beaming up at Tessa, who had set down a mug of tea on the table beside her. Kay had taken to the walls in just a few minutes, as she had not taken to anybody else in Pagford. There had been no sweeping up and down glance from Tessa as she walked in, no gimlet-eyed assessment of her physical imperfections and dress sense. Her husband, though nervous, seemed decent and earnest in his determination to obstruct the abandonment of the fields. "Is that a London accent, Kay?" asked Tessa, dunking a plain biscuit in her coffee. Kay nodded. "What brings you to Pagford?" "A relationship," said Kay. She took no pleasure saying it, even though she and Gavin were officially reconciled. She turned back to Colin. "I don't quite understand the situation with regards to the parish council and the clinic." "Oh, it owns the building," said Colin. "It's an old church. The lease is coming up for renewal. So that would be an easy way to force them out."
"Exactly.
When did you say that you'd spoken to Miles Mollison?" asked Colin, both hoping and dreading to hear that Miles had mentioned him.
"We had dinner Friday before last," Kay explained. "Gavin and I..."
"Oh, you're Gavin's girlfriend," interjected Tessa.
"Yes, and anyway, the subject of the fields came up."
"It would," said Tessa.
"And Miles mentioned Bell Chapel, and I was quite dismayed by the way he talked about the issues involved. I told him I'm dealing with a family at the moment."
Kay remembered her indiscreet mention of the Whedons' names and proceeded carefully.
"And if the mother is deprived of methadone, she'll almost certainly end up back on the game."
"That sounds like the Whedons," said Tessa, with a lowering sensation.
Yes, I am talking about the Whedons, actually," said Kay.
Tessa reached for another biscuit.
"I'm Crystal's guidance teacher. This must be the second time her mother's been through Bell Chapel, is it?"
"Third," said Kay.
"We've known Crystal since she was 5. She was in our son's class at primary school," Tessa said. "She's had an awful life, really."
"Absolutely," said Kay. "It's astounding she's as sweet as she is, actually."
"Oh, I agree," said Colin, heartily.
Remembering Colin's absolute refusal to rescind Crystal's detention after the squawking incident in assembly, Tessa raised her eyebrows. Then she wondered, with a sick lurch in her stomach, what Colin would say if Sukhvinder was not lying or mistaken. But surely Sukhvinder was wrong. She was a shy, naive girl. Probably she'd got the wrong end of the stick, misheard something. "The point is, about the only thing that motivates Terry is the fear of losing her kids," said Kay. "She's back on track at the moment. Her key worker at the clinic told me she senses a bit of a breakthrough in Terry's attitude. If Bell Chapel closes, it all goes belly up again, and God knows what'll happen to the family."
"This is all very useful," said Colin, nodding importantly and starting to make notes on a clean page in his notebook.
"Very useful indeed. Did you say you've got statistics on people going clean?"
Kay shuffled the printed pages, looking for the information.
Tessa had the impression that Colin wanted to reclaim Kay's attention for himself. He had always been susceptible to good looks and a sympathetic manner.
Tessa munched another biscuit, still thinking about Crystal. Their recent guidance sessions had not been very satisfactory. Crystal had been standoffish. Today's had been no different. She had extracted a promise from Crystal that she would not pursue or harass Sukhvinder Jawanda again, but Crystal's demeanour suggested that Tessa had let her down.